This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you for joining me today. This episode is one I have been excited about for a while now, planning to release for a while now. In fact, many of you have emailed me and I've said, hold tight. I've got an episode coming on that. And the topic is identity journaling. A specific form of journaling that I've just been doing for a handful of months now. Some of my Master's Club members have been doing it too. It's a game changer. As we talk about what this is and why it matters, I want to set the stage with you. One thing I've noticed in all aspects of life is that when we are uncomfortable, we tend to look away. When we are looking away, we drift. Whether that is our finances, our relationships, our bodies, our weight, our fitness, our health. When we are uncomfortable, we look away. We don't face it. And while we're looking away, we drift. And you never drift somewhere you always wanted to be, like, oh my gosh, look, here I am where I've always wanted to be. How'd that happen? We never drift somewhere good. And when I think back a handful of years, my life was marked by not wanting to pay attention. I didn't want to look at my body. I wouldn't look at my body. I would leave the lights off in the bathroom. I certainly would never look into a mirror while I was getting dressed, while I was naked, after I got out of the shower. I did not want to pay attention. I didn't want to acknowledge my food choices. Something like writing it down would have made me feel accountable, and I didn't want to be because it made me uncomfortable. I didn't want to acknowledge my inconsistency. I didn't want to be faced with it. I didn't want to look too closely at my bank account. I didn't want to look too closely at anything. How much debt I had, the state of my marriage. And nothing good was happening. While I wasn't paying attention, while I was looking away, nothing good was happening. And it's true in business too. I've shared with you that already in 2019, I've made some major investments in business coaches and masterminds. And right off the bat, one of my coaches had me create a dashboard of things that I need to be measuring every day in my business, paying attention to what is happening every day, like the number of leads, new email addresses that I bring in, and the number of podcast downloads and a bunch of different metrics. And at first, creating that dashboard and looking at those numbers, it wasn't fun. I didn't want to. There was absolutely resistance. And that resistance was not wanting to be accountable for what results I was creating in my life. But just looking at that dashboard has already made a positive difference because the things that we monitor improve. I'm sure you've heard the cliche, what gets measured gets managed, and it's true. And those are some of the reasons I journal, because journaling means I am paying attention. And you can't change what you aren't paying attention to. You can't act differently when you don't notice a behavior. And you can't fix a mindset pattern that you don't know you have. I mentioned masterminds, and I was at one of the weekend events this past weekend. And one of the things I wrote in my notes, and I think I shared it with the Masters Club, was slow down to the speed of wisdom. Slow down to the speed of wisdom. One of the reasons I struggled in so many areas of my life was that I was rushing. In addition to not wanting to know, not wanting to be held accountable, not wanting to look, not wanting to face the music, I was also rushing. And when I was rushing, I was thinking about what I had to do next, not what I was doing right now. And if you're not paying attention to what you're doing right now, you don't have an opportunity to intervene there and make a different choice. So journaling has helped me with that as well. But over the last few months, my journaling has taken a different form, and it is a dramatically more powerful, more effective form. I'm not using the journal to hold myself accountable at all. I'm using it instead for transformation. I'm using it as a specific and targeted tool to help me create change. And this started around the time that the Masters Club, we read a book together every month, and we were reading James Clear's Atomic Habits. And I'll link to that book in the show notes over at primalpotential.com/559. But one of the things he talks a lot about is identity. And I love this idea. I've talked about it a lot, especially in episode 480, that transformation is now. It's not down the line. We don't have to trudge this long path for weeks and months to create change. There are opportunities today. But I, like many people in the areas where I want to create change, was struggling to put that into action. The answer was found in this shift in the way that I journal. And I'm going to share it with you today. I've been calling it identity journaling. That's how I refer to it with my Masters Club. And some of the folks in the Masters Club have started doing it, including who you're going to hear me talk with today. She started this shift in her journaling. She didn't have a real solid journaling habit. She had a really strong checklist habit. But since she made this shift to this specific kind of journaling, it has changed her in wonderful ways. It improved her work life. It improved her marriage. It improved her mindset. It improved her relationship with her kids and how she feels about herself as a mom, which is so powerful. It improved her role as a basketball coach. It improved her confidence. It made her more peaceful, more present. If I could, just from my observation of what she's been doing, if I had to say there was one primary change as she made this shift, I would say it's confidence. She feels more confident in her ability to make things happen at work. She feels more confident in her ability to do new things like take on coaching a basketball team. And confidence is a powerful thing. It's not just designated to one area of life. It touches all areas of life. And within the Masters Club, lots of people were asking her and I, What are you doing? How are you doing it? What does it look like? And we've been sharing some of it there. But today we are going to talk about it here with you. You're going to hear our conversation. What is this type of journaling we do? How does it work? How can I start? What would it look like for me to do this very specifically? And it's different. The way that I do it is a slightly different version of what she does, but we're going to share all of that with you. And I decided, and I'm saying this right now, to hold myself accountable, even though it makes me uber nervous, I am creating an identity journal for the next 12 weeks to transformation. We have a journal within the 12 weeks to transformation, and I'm always making improvements and adjustments to it. But for the next 12 weeks to transformation, which kicks off on April 7th, there will be an official identity journal, and I will create it in the next 4 weeks. I will do that. It is a priority. It is happening. Registration opens up for that in mid-March, so you can get on the wait list now if you go to primalpotential.com/transform. primalpotential.com/transform. That will also tell you a lot more about the 12 weeks to transformation and what it includes, but more importantly, getting on that wait list. And I am holding my feet to the fire. This identity journal will be done by that time. I'm claiming it. I will make it happen. And many of you might be wondering, oh, can I get it if I'm not in the 12 weeks to transformation? And the answer for now is no. We'll just keep it simple with that. Without any further delay, I want to welcome with gratitude, with love, with friendship and appreciation, one of my favorite people in the world, and I say that with 1,000,000% sincerity. She is warm, she is hysterically funny, and she's open and willing to be of service by sharing what is very personal, what we journal, how it moves us, and sharing that with you. So I hope you will all send lots of love and gratitude in your thoughts to one of my favorite people, Jen. And where we will kick off my conversation with Jen is with her answer to me asking if she was journaling before she started this new version. Like, did you go from nothing to identity journaling? Did you have a strong journaling practice? And she didn't have a strong journaling practice. And that is where we are going to kick off this conversation. But Jen, I love you. I appreciate you. I am grateful for your time and your energy and the example you set within the Masters Club every day. So I hope you all enjoy this conversation, and I'll see you on the other side of it.
It started out to be how I wanted to be, and then it turned into a to-do list. Mm. And how I felt. And then when you started, I really got inspiration from when you started, you know, and then you showed us an example of how you do it, right? And how you take the sticky parts of your day and twist them and create, you know, excitement about that. That's what really hooked me, was when I started doing it like that. I'm super consistent now.
Yeah.
Where I wasn't before.
So I want to get into, because I know you get a lot of questions about this. I get a lot of questions like, what the heck is this? How do you do it? What are you doing? I don't really get it. Is it aspirational? Before we talk about really the nitty gritty and what it looks like for me and for you and how it's similar and how it's different, I would love to know. I think when I started sharing this was around the time of the Masters Club trip in Austin. Is that accurate, or was it?
Yeah. It was something that it was about that time when I started.
Okay. So that was a couple months ago now. What has shifted for you? Before we get into the how and the logistics, what change has this created for you since you started journaling this way?
I think a lot of it is that I am intentional about thinking through my day. You know, a lot of times I would have my feet hit the floor and I would be flying down the road before I even paid any attention, you know, to what I needed, what I wanted, what the challenges were for the day. And so it helps me kind of think through and troubleshoot. And it really helps me set the intention for my day. And I didn't really understand what that meant until I started doing it. You know, I didn't understand how it would help me. It helps me create excitement and challenging, you know, in ways that I find, like, things that I have that are tricky for the day. It helps me create excitement about it. And I kind of flip my story. It's the very best kind of affirmation for me. Mm-hmm. And the angel and the marble thing, I always really loved that. But that was kind of, you know, it wasn't, how do I apply that on a daily basis?
Right. It's a cute idea. But like, how right. do I, and for anybody that's wondering what that is, so there is a quote attributed to Michelangelo when he was asked about how he created the statue of David from one single block of marble. And he says, "I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set him free." Meaning I slowly chipped away everything that was not the statue of David. Everything else had to go. Which is so lovely, like, what is not the best version of me? And that's beautiful in theory, but it only does something for us when we translate it into action. So you had texted me the other day. Can I summarize a little bit of what you said when you texted me before your trip?
Sure.
Because I think it just represents kind of the deliverable that comes from this kind of process in journaling. You were telling me a little bit about where you used to be, who you used to be. And you said, "I'm so proud of who I've grown to be in the last 8 years. From that sad, destroyed girl smoking Camels, drinking myself into a shell, and bawling my eyes out about my failures." And you told me that maybe you've never been happier than you are now, and that you're closer than you've ever been to the version of you that you want to be. And on that day, or maybe the day before, your identity journaling had really described that shift from the sad, destroyed girl smoking and drinking. You wrote, "Today I am lighthearted and silly and will enjoy every second of making memories and filling my heart with all the people I love. I will laugh, take pictures, and enjoy this day, and I will take advantage of all the moments of connection that are created today. Alcohol is not the priority. Fun, laughter, and connection are. Alcohol can add to the experience if it is worth it, and I am still prioritizing self-care." And you wrote, "I'm proud of the work I'm doing here and am excited to practice taking great care of myself while on vacation and being in an alcohol-infused experience." So taking that back to the identity journaling and feeling like you're in a better place and feeling like you're happier than you've been and closer than you've been to the version of yourself you want to be, how is it that this process of journaling has helped you be more of who you want to be and less often who you don't want to be?
Well, I think getting back to the angel and the marble thing, one of the things I had written in my journal was, angel and the marble is a cute idea. And I remember drawing a picture of an angel, all the things that I wanted to be on the inside, all the things I didn't want to be on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, that's wishing for it, right? So the things I wish to happen, and that identity journaling is working for it, you know, working for it on a daily basis to be who you want to be. And it's an intentional daily practice.
Yeah.
Of pointing my ship in the direction that I want to go. And without it, I would just hit the ground running, be 1,000 miles an hour.
And I think what I used to be that way too. And I think that's what one of the many things that you and I have in common, that we love to feel productive and like check things off the list. Yeah. And feel for sure. Like we're getting things done. But when you're so busy racing through your day, sometimes you get to the end of the day and you're like, crap, I was so busy and so preoccupied with doing that I didn't even think about showing up as the way I want to be. Like, I was so busy getting things done, I was in that mode, so I'm snapping at my loved ones, or I'm, you know, eating in a rush and I'm like not even hungry. And when you are kind of taking that time at the start of the day to say, all right, for this day, moving it out of the realm of aspiration and into the realm of action, how do I show up this way today? And this all started, for me anyway, and what preceded me sharing it with the Masters Club, was when we as a group read James Clear's Atomic Habits. And one of the things that he talks about is that we don't have to have happiness be something for our future self to enjoy, which I love. Because for me, change was always this future point, like something that I had to earn, that I had to work for. I wasn't there yet. And so since I wasn't yet who I want to be, well, I can't be that way today because I'm not there yet. But this practice of identity journaling for me was very practically a process for showing up today as the version of myself I want to be. Not some future point in time, but the practice is literally, okay, not in general, not in theory, not like you were saying that aspirational wish of like, these are all these ideas. I want to be more patient. I want to be more disciplined. No. Today, where can I show up as the best version of me today? So maybe for me today, that's very specific to food. If I am the best version of me today, then I'm not going to drink alcohol today. Or I am going to make sure that I have vegetables at every single meal today. Or I'm going to drink a gallon of water today. Not like, I am somebody who eats more healthy. I am somebody who works out regularly. No, today I'm going to the gym at 6. It's very specific. Can you give a little bit of insight when you say that you're being much more intentional about your day and taking that idea of, I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set the angel free, how do you then turn that into something that is action-based? And is yours very specific to the day you're in, or is it more general?
The way that I've done it a few different ways. My current favorite is I start every journaling adventure with gratitude. You know, the more, the better. Mm-hmm. And then I ask the question, what would make my day go great? Mm. You know, how could my day go well? And then I write down all those things. And sometimes that is being patient and kind with the kids. And sometimes that is cranking through my to-do list. Sometimes that being a patient and encouraging coach. And so I take all of those things and then I flip them. So if they don't feel like, if I'm not excited about a work project, if I have these things to figure out and my initial reaction is, oh God, I don't want to do that, that's going to be hard. It's, I am so excited to figure out this one piece so that I can be closer to figuring out problem XYZ. Mm. I can't wait to make this phone call to this client that I have been putting off because I am going to be able to take care of this, this, and this. So I create excitement, especially about the crappy stuff. In all honesty, it helps switch my, it's like an affirmation for me.
Let me ask you this, because I know a lot of people struggle with their affirmations not feeling genuine. So when you say, I'm so excited to call this client and figure out XYZ, do you mean it?
I do. I do. And I never meant it in an affirmation.
Yeah. What do you think, like, let's say that you are just dreading this project, and I'm sure I certainly have projects that I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. Like, that's just going to suck. It's not going to be fun. When you're feeling that way, how do you practically move to being excited about it? Like, how do you make that happen?
I always say to the kids, you got to give me a better sales pitch than that. And so that's kind of what I'm doing with identity journaling, is I'm giving myself a sales pitch on why it'll be awesome. Mm. And it originally took a lot more time and intention. I believe myself more the longer I'm at it.
Yeah.
Because I have experienced, you know, what it feels like to be on the other side of that. And most of the things in my head that feel big and scary and gross are really not that bad when you're on the other side of it. And so, you know, a lot of it's just kind of cutting out the monster of it.
Yeah.
Pumping myself up, right? To get it done, to take a step forward. One of the other things I do is I take note cards if I have a project, and I make teeny tiny steps out of it. Like you talked about the tension and ascend,
mm-hmm.
about taking the smallest thing forward. That's kind of how I do a lot of my work stuff that I'm not feeling real great about, is I will break it down into like teeny ridiculous, like sometimes it's ridiculous to write it down, and then I get 2-3 things done and I'm rolling. And then it's like, well, I'm almost done. I might as well get going. So some of it is that process too, in terms of work things.
Yeah.
Is breaking it down very small.
I love that, because then the progress feels so much more manageable. And for context, the Ascend thing, and this one, one of our other Masters Club members loves this one too. She brings it up regularly. I was standing at the front of the room with my sister, and we were, what, like maybe 5 or 6 feet away from each other. And we were holding a rope at opposite ends. And the visual that I was trying to explain is that when something feels hard and when we feel tension and resistance, we're usually pulling away from that thing, whether it is like our fear of facing the numbers in our budget or the amount of debt we have or how much weight we have to lose or whatever it is. As we move away from that thing, we resist it and we resent it, we create more tension because we're pulling on opposite ends. But when we move towards it, even the smallest step, that doesn't create tension. It relieves tension. So I love that so much. And I love that you start your journaling with just one question, like what can you do to feel really great about that day? And I used to always begin my journaling with, what does it look like to win the day? But what I've learned is that sometimes that would just fall into the same sort of dulled out generalities that I had used a million times before. And it didn't feel as powerful to say, well, winning the day means eating really well, and winning the day means getting my work done, and winning the day means going to bed at a good hour and drinking enough water and get da 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 da. It changed so dramatically in the most powerful way when I started to get specific. And so I open up my calendar first thing and I ask, if I was today the very best version of me, the Elizabeth that I want to be and I know is possible for me, how would I show up in everything that I have going on today? So little things like, for example, the reason I was asking you about, you know, when you really don't want to call that client, can you really be excited about it? Is because if I have a phone call that I'm really not looking forward to making, and I ask myself, okay, well, if I were the version of me that I want to be, how would I show up in that moment? Then there's something about it that is good, that is possible. Like if I know that I have to call my accountant, and I normally dread those phone calls because I don't always get it, and talking about money can be stressful, the best version of me is pumped to learn. Is pumped right. to become more equipped at something that I don't see as a strength. Or like I shared with the Masters Club that less than a week into my new home adventure, I woke up one morning to the kitchen floor covered in water and the roof was leaking. And the best version of me, the best version of me says, well, if a leaking roof is a problem, the solution is really obvious. Fix the roof. Like it's not that this problem doesn't have a solution. And either my boyfriend is going to fix it, hooray, or we're going to hire somebody to fix it, but the reality is then we will have a better roof, and we will have a resource on roof repair that we don't previously have. So shifting to that perspective of like, if I'm the kind of person I want to be, which means not a complainer, not a martyr, not a negative Nancy, not any of those things, then how do I show up in this situation? And I apply that inquiry to every call that I have, like going through emails, which can become like a bucket of quicksand. I go in and I feel like I'm never going to get out. But the best version of me is like, every single person I respond to is an opportunity to help somebody, is an invitation into somebody's life. And just posing it in terms of like, if I am the me I want to be, how do I go through that? It shifts everything for me. And I know for you, this is something that has had an impact on every aspect of your life. You've touched a little bit on like the work things and the patience with kids thing. How has identity journaling been helpful to you in how you take care of yourself?
I journal. One thing that I've had to be very careful of is that it doesn't become a to-do list mm-hmm. because to-do lists aren't very inspirational. So sometimes, very rarely is it actually task-based. Like sometimes it's pump up, you know, for a work project. But in terms of self-care, it's I am someone who, I mean, almost my first line, almost every page is I am X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. You know, today's strong, confident, and articulate. I'm excited to get back into my routine so I can feel my best, right? That was my first day back from my trip. Mm-hmm. So that's how it is. Today I'm excited too, you know, is my mm-hmm. first line. And it helps me, you know, prioritize self-care. Like even today I said that I prioritize self-care by hydration, you know, eating well, moving, and meditation. Mm-hmm. And so it helps prioritize me. Actually, the whole act of identity journaling is self-care for me.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because I have already thought through all the known issues of what could happen today. So I've already made those decisions on how I'm going to respond. Mm-hmm. So when chaos happens, I have more bandwidth to respond because I've already made a whole bunch of decisions in that morning.
Yeah.
So for me, it is the best kind of self-care.
I love that. And I love your words. In fact, I had just, before we jumped on this call, I had just posted in the Masters Club about how I used identity journaling to kind of come back from a moment I had earlier today where I realized I was just in a funk, because those moments happen even if you're identity journaling regularly. And I think that the identity journaling is a tool that then becomes a part of the way you think. It is something that with time isn't just the exercise of the morning, but rather the thought process of the whole day. So I noticed I was driving and I had just gotten off the phone with the bank and there was like an issue with an account I'm trying to close. And I literally said to myself, why am I so edgy? Why am I so stressed out? And I realized that I was focused on everything that was a problem or a stressor or an issue. And I reminded myself, that's not how I want to go through life. Because if I ask anybody, you or anybody else, like, what's not good? What's stressful? What's hard? We could all come up with a list. But we can also all come up with a list of everything that is good and that is wonderful and that is exciting and that is a possibility. And so literally as I was driving, I said out loud to myself, what's great? Name everything that's great, right? What's great is I was sick and my boyfriend took amazing care of me, much better care than I would take care of him if he was sick. What's great is, it's so true. It's 100% true and I'm okay with it. What's great is that I have an amazing tribe of supporters, people who love me and people who are on my side and people who pour into me every single day. And just like, you know, you said you have three different words. I posted just 20 minutes before we jumped on here, my focus for today: positive, proactive, present, and patient. And then when I'm going through my day, it's how do I show up on this call and in this meeting and in this appointment? Positive, proactive, present, and patient. I had an appointment this morning and the person was running a little bit late and I started to get like, oh, I don't have time. I have stuff to do. Are you kidding me? And I just reminded myself, I'm a patient person. And I'm a positive person. And here I am able to get this service. Like, I don't have to sit here and focus on the downside when I could use this as an opportunity to redirect to all that is good, to all that is right, to all that is okay. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but in Atomic Habits, one of the parts early in the book that the author James Clear writes is that winners and losers have the same goals, right? Going back right. to your sense that like this is, it used to just be intention, yeah. like wishes, but winners and losers both want to win. They have the same goal. What's different is their practice. That is what is different. But when we have that to-do list mentality, we overlook the fact that it is how we think and how we believe that drives our choices. And so I'm sure, I know for sure, just because of how long you've been a part of my life, that you've been through the like dieting mentality and the like, you know, do more of this and less of that. But where that fails us is that it doesn't change how we think. It doesn't change how we think about our circumstances. It doesn't change how we think about ourselves. And in Atomic Habits, he says, outcomes are about what you get. Processes are about what you do. And identity is about what you believe, and we act in accordance with what we believe. If we believe that we can't take great care of ourselves today because it's just too much, if we believe that everything is bad, then we act in accordance with what we believe. And identity journaling challenges us to just level up our beliefs. And right when we started the book as a group, and in fact, this might have been like the crux of our Master's Club webinar about it. He says that we have to become the best version of ourselves, we have to continuously edit our beliefs and upgrade and expand our identity. And I think that's what you and I are doing every single day when we're journaling this way. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, it's intentional daily practice of being who I want to be. And I had, you know, wished for it. I've been at this a while, right? Mm-hmm. And I have moved more mountains since I started doing this than I ever did in the previous 3 years or however long that's been. You know, it's not a guarantee that you're not going to run into bumps in the road, and it doesn't guarantee a perfect day. But I can say that I guarantee I will be closer to where I want to be by doing this process. So I have a North Arrow and I know how I want to handle it. you know, things go crazy. They sure do.
Yeah.
But if I wake up in the morning and don't do it, I'm all over the place. Yeah. I mean, I'm not on a clear path. And I think that that's the summary of how I got to where I am. And it does help, you know, it gives me confidence. I'm a new basketball coach, and that was a huge, accomplishment for me to step into that role. I've never been a basketball coach before, but I identity journaled like crazy, and I still do before every game about what kind of coach I want to be. And that is so helpful.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be a positive and encouraging coach, and I monitor the kids' energy levels and mental status, and I'm able to make substitutions, you know, that are the right thing for the right choice for the team. And I mean, setting that up in advance, I mean, it really has helped me. And I do that in almost all areas of my life.
Yeah. One of the, to go back to Atomic Habits, he breaks down, and you know, I love this because I was a Latin major, so this makes me really happy. But he breaks down the word identity to its roots. And it comes from essensitas, which means being, and identidem, which means repeatedly. Who are you repeatedly being?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that because you get what you repeat. And the reality is, for most of my life, who was I repeatedly being? A snarky, impatient, over-emotional binge eater who made excuses. But I can repeatedly be somebody else. And so while the food part has gotten infinitely easier for me, where I have a lot of work to do now is not rushing and not feeling overwhelmed by my day. Because I can wake up and be like, oh my gosh, there's so much and da-da-da-da-da. And then I'm miserable all day long because I'm not enjoying anything I'm doing. I'm just always rushing to the next thing. So who will I repeatedly be? I can either repeatedly be the girl who feels frazzled and overwhelmed, or I can repeatedly be the girl who is totally content to work on this thing until it's done and then happily and contently move on to the next thing. But that requires that I repeatedly be that person. And so that to me is where I think that this has been most helpful is, who do I want to repeatedly be, and what will I do about that today? Not in general, not in a vague aspiration, but I want to repeatedly be a really loving daughter and a really thoughtful sister and a really attentive girlfriend. So how will I repeatedly be that today? What will I do specifically? And those are the kinds of things that come up in my daily journaling, because you get what you repeat. And the more repetitions you get, the more you believe in that thing. Because I didn't believe that I could be patient and present in my workday because I hadn't been. But the more times I choose that, the more times I practice that, the more belief I build in that, and the more automatic it becomes. What has been hardest for you in this? Because I'm sure some things are a little bit easier than others. What has required more effort or more repetition or more action than other things?
To make sure that it doesn't become a to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I really, the things that what I'm going to care about when I'm 80 are not project related. Mm-hmm. You know, they are about showing up who I want to be as a daughter, as a wife, as a parent, you know, as a friend, as a human being. And I very regularly, when I first started, it started out as more task related. Yeah. And as I've evolved into it, it is very much pumping myself up mentally about who I want to be, not task orientated. And also, you know, how do I want to show up for my family and for my boys that I coach and, you know, my friends or whatever I'm doing that day.
This is probably going to be, sorry, go ahead.
I would say that's, you know, cause at the end of the day, that matters more than how I handle this one project, but
right.
There is definitely, that is a thing on my to-do list where I still, there are times that I need to pump myself up to do things, but it has evolved from tasks to more like relationship based.
So this is probably going to be a spoiler for you. I'm guessing because you've been on vacation that you haven't listened to the Masters Club webinar from the other night.
I have not.
Okay. I'm going to, like, you're going to love this part. It made me think of you. And I actually wrote a VIP email about it that hasn't gone out yet. So we were talking about chasing cupcakes, and I threw out the question, like, what is the change that you're trying to create, just to kind of kick things off at the start. And somebody in the group, and I say her name in the Master's Club webinar, so you'll know when you listen to it, was saying, you know, these different things. She didn't want to be all about her tasks. And she said, the goal is the feeling. The goal is the feeling. And it instantly like went through me like a lightning bolt, because I talk a lot about external goals and internal targets in the book. But one of the things that made me think about was when you were feeling overwhelmed by, like, you know, I do all the laundry and I'm trying to make the lunches and I make homemade bone broth, but like, why does my marriage not feel the way I want it to feel? Or why, you know, is there not as much peace in my home? And, when you asked your family, like, what makes you feel most loved, or when do you love being in the house the most? They didn't give a damn about the laundry and the homemade bone broth, like all of that stuff. And I think that there's such a difference between, like, I need to do these things versus the goal is the feeling, right? Like, we all have those to-do lists that they're just real. It's part of being an adult, right? We have to get these projects done, and we've got to make sure that, you know, there's food in the fridge and, like, you know, the kids have clothes on. But when the objective is the feeling, I want my family to feel my love, and I want to feel peace and joy, then it's not about the things we need to do, but how we're going to do them. How we're going to do them. Yeah, like, it's just a game changer.
Yeah.
I have, like, F-15s flying over my house right now. I don't know what's going on. But I don't know if they're F-15s. I totally made that up. I don't know. Big military aircraft. Anyway. But I think that is such a difference in perspective, especially for people like you and I who love the lists and can easily pat ourselves on the back for productivity. We can still get all those things done. But to me, it just captured it so perfectly when she said the goal is the feeling. And we went down a little rabbit hole in the Master's Club webinar about that, because it's just so good. Like, the goal is the feeling in how I go through my day. It's not all the things I want to get done, but how I want to feel as I do them. It's not so much about I need to eat less sugar and drink less booze, but how do I want to feel in my skin? How do I want to feel about my choices? How do I want to feel when I leave that party? And I thought that was just a beautiful way to kind of summarize the whole thing we're after with this, you know?
Yeah, completely.
Because identity journaling isn't just about, like, in fact, I would say, correct me if you disagree with me here, it's not even at all about the things we do. It's about how we show up.
About how we do them, with joy, with peace, with happiness.
Yeah, it's so, like, you can eat really well and work out and take care of your home and be a good wife and be freaking miserable.
Right.
And be resentful or be exhausted or be on the fringe, ready to freaking snap and feel like you're barely holding it together. And nobody is saying that this means get less done. It's do it with a different perspective. If somebody was go ahead, please.
I think that's the real big value in it for me, is that I am changing my perspective, you know, with how I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. With the identity journaling, I think that's what it is. It's putting on a different lens. You know, the best version of me, Len.
If somebody wanted to start, and we get you and I both, especially because we've been so vocal in the Master's Club about A, how we've been doing this, and B, how much we love it and have found it so valuable and helpful. If somebody was like, all right, so I'm not really clear on how to start. What would you say from your perspective would be a really simple way for somebody to start with this?
Ooh, well, I mean, we've kind of done a little bit of that in the Master's Club, but I would say, look at your day ahead and see who you want to be and just start practicing, because everyone's going to do it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And then see how that feels at the end of the day. You know, if you set the intention just even for the morning and then you nail that, you're going to be pumped about that. Or even if it's just, you know, I want to feel proud at the end of the day. These are the things that are going to make me, you know, feel that way. I mean, I think just starting to think about your day and how you want to show up, even if it's one or two areas.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, I'm to the spot now where, you know, I get pretty detailed.
Right.
It didn't start out that way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes it's beautiful, handwritten in full pages. Sometimes it's in my phone quickly
yeah.
as Jake's driving. Sometimes it's via voice note when yeah. I have no time to type or write.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's beautiful and sometimes it's, you know, less beautiful, but it's always effective for me.
I totally agree. And I think what was helpful for me in getting started, first and foremost, is that there's no wrong way and that the
right.
best way to learn is to start, right? Because it's easy to be like, so exactly what? Can I see examples? Like, no, create an example. You know, it's not that, I say no, but like you and I have shared our examples in the Master's Club a number of times, and I'll probably put an example or two in the show notes page. But our need to define it can sometimes limit our own experience of it. So I would say where I found it helpful to start is first, like, what does the best version of me look like? And the more specific you can be, the better, right? And the more yeah. perspective-based versus like, she's taller and thinner. Like, that's not, you know, that's a fine place to start, but let's make it a little bit more granular than that. And then going through there and saying, okay, well, in what ways can I show up that way today? Like, I don't have to wait to be somebody who is more grateful. I don't have to wait to be somebody who is more patient or who communicates with love and respect or who consistently eats well. So what can I do to incorporate that into today? And I find it really helpful to look at my calendar so that I can be really, really, really specific. Like, tomorrow I'm traveling. So my answers on like the eating the way the best version of me eats is going to be very different tomorrow when I have a cross-country flight than it would be today when I'm at home all day and when I, you know, haven't eaten solid food in a couple of days because I've been sick. So I find it really helpful to not have it be in generalities when we're focused on the day, but it's okay to begin with generalities to give you an idea of like your compass, the direction in which you want to move. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I think we've talked about it just amongst the group and, you know, with a few people that I too love information and I want to know how to do it perfectly. And that is very much kind of the direction where I usually head. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the things, you know, I think you've said to me about 400 times that you just need to squeeze out the juice.
Yeah.
And figure it out. And it went fine. You know, once I took the judgment of having it be perfect and just have it to be what's going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And to just be a witness to my own process,
mm-hmm.
because I think that you and I have some things in common in the way that we do this, but I think it could be different. You know, you got to find out what works for you. And mine's kind of evolved
yeah.
over time, you know, the process in which I do it. And I would imagine it would continue to evolve as, you know, I grow and change. But I think just try it and get started and try a couple things. And I think it's been very helpful for me to look at how I want to behave, you
yeah.
know, how I want to be, how I want to rest my head on my pillow at night,
yeah.
knowing how I behaved that day. I don't want to have to say I'm sorry any more than what's absolutely required, you know?
Yeah.
Intentional.
I totally agree with that. And I, for everybody that's like, can I have more specifics? My general sentiment is let your practice be your teacher. Start. Like, just do it tomorrow. Answer some of the questions that we've said. Start with some of the ways that we've shared that we do it. And then honestly, let your practice inform your practice. That is the most powerful thing, because Jen's shouldn't look like mine, and mine shouldn't look like Jen, and mine won't look the same next week as it does today, and yours shouldn't look like ours, because our goals are different and who we want to be is different. And the biggest thing is there is no wrong way to do this, because ultimately you're marrying two powerful things: paying attention and applying intention. Paying attention to what's going on in your day, to who you want to be, to how you want to be, and applying your intention as opposed to being aspirational. And when you marry those two things, it's going to be powerful. And the best teacher is always your own practice. Any last parting thoughts or anything you wanted to share that we didn't bring up?
Other than I was not a super faithful journaler on the regular basis, mm-hmm. I used it for troubleshooting. Mm-hmm. But this has been the most consistent that I've ever been. And I've had some tricky situations come up for work in the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And instead of panicking, I go to my journal and how can this be for me? How can this person not be wrong? That has been powerful. I don't remember which book that was at Buddha that you had.
Yeah.
Told us about that, like how not to make anyone wrong.
Yeah.
That has helped me in my life immensely to take the time to do that. So as journaling has become a very strong habit, it's become a habit to turn to when I'm struggling or when I'm really excited. And it's kind of been a great companion for me, where before I didn't have the instincts to go to that. Where now that's like my first instinct when I'm struggling is to go sort it all out. And I've become, I think, very good at actually sorting it out with a pen or typing it on my phone if I'm out and about. I've become a better problem solver, you know, in my own life because of the practice.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And I want to challenge you to put this into action. Do not wait. Start with one question. Start with, you know, Jen gave the example of I am strong, confident, and articulate. Well, not only begin with how you want to be today, maybe it's patient and present. What opportunities exist in your day for you to practice that? Maybe there's a meeting where you're really going to practice being present instead of being on your phone or thinking through your next meeting. Maybe you're not going to multitask when you eat. When you're eating, you're just eating. You're not watching TV. You're not scrolling through Instagram. But identify how you want to be and then where you have an opportunity to show up that way today. And like I said at the start of the show, I am holding my feet to the fire. I will create an identity journal prior to the kickoff of the next 12 weeks to transformation. For the next 12 weeks to transformation. Scares me to say it because I got my work to do, but it's happening. I am going to put that out there for the sake of accountability. That 12-week group kicks off on Sunday, April 7th. Registration opens up to the waitlist in mid-March, so you can go to primalpotential.com/transform to learn more about that 12-week group and get on the waitlist. But you can also go to the show notes page, primalpotential.com/559. And if you haven't seen this on Facebook or Instagram, one of the things that I am doing to help you create change in your life is taking some of the resources that I had created, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago or more that have been no longer available, like the Hormones and Fat Loss ebook. That just is something I used to sell and then decided I didn't want to be in the ebook business. So it went into retirement. But now I'm making those things available to you for free. So I will link to that in the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/559. And you will find there the way that you can download for free that Hormones and Fat Loss ebook if that is a topic in which you are interested. So head over to the show notes, primalpotential.com/559. Another well-deserved and very much appreciated shout out to Jen for sharing on this episode. And I can't wait to hear what you guys do with this. If you've got questions, you can leave them on the show notes or you can DM me on Instagram. You can find me there at Elizabeth Benton. Make today amazing, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.